Following is a presentation of Grace Covenant Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
Well, let me open and we'll get cranked off this morning. Father, we are thankful for the day you've given us and thankful for an opportunity to be together, to a place to meet and to open your word. We would ask your attention to those that are traveling and those that are ill. We ask now that you join us and open our understanding to the things you'd have us know. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are still in Whitney's book on spiritual disciplines. And the title is Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. But does anybody remember what the subtitle is? No, you should be. I'm gonna call you now. What's the subtitle of Whitney's book? Spirit, huh? No, you're close. Spiritual disciplines for the purpose of what? No, that's the main title. Subtitle is Spiritual Disciplines for the Purpose of Godliness. And within that frame, that's the one we're gonna look at this morning. If you've read ahead, which you probably didn't, but if you did, the one we're gonna look at this morning is journaling. Now, without putting anybody on the spot, does anybody journal consistently? You do. Okay. Does anybody else journal sporadically? No, and I will have to confess that I don't either. Many years ago when I did Master Life, part of Master Life was journaling, and I did journal at that point and did discover its usefulness. But like I said, I will have to confess that I've been derelict in doing that since then. So we're going to look at some of the aspects of journaling this morning. As is the case with most of these sessions, this material comes directly out of his book. So most of what I'm saying this morning is attributed directly to him from his book. With that disclaimer out of the way, since we're recording, we'll continue. Let me begin with two questions. One, both of them are somewhat rhetorical, but think about this, and if you want to, you can respond to these. What is your first impression when you hear journaling? Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it neutral? Okay. Sometimes positive, sometimes negative, sometimes neutral. Okay. Okay. Let's take the positive first. What contributes to your impression of journaling being positive? You journal. Why is it positive?
Sometimes it's good for venting.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Sometimes it kind of points toward a scripture that you really liked, that seemed to impress you and helpful.
Okay. Okay. Now, if your first impression is negative, what contributes to it being negative?
Hmm?
Okay, too much time. Okay, and I think sometimes when we think journaling, we think diaries. Now, when you think diary, what's typically the most the first thought that comes to mind. Who writes diaries? Teenage girls. However, we know that that a lot of guys, a lot of important guys, have diaries. And this was particularly true with the Patriots and some of those folks. More often, they write journals or ledgers. And we journal all kinds of things. I keep a journal on our duck season. I've got a record of every day that's hunted, what the weather is, who was there, how many we killed, and what species. So journaling in that sense takes a whole different concept. The journaling we're going to look at this morning, however, differs significantly from a diary or a ledger, because the journaling we're going to talk about has a spiritual component to it. And it's the discipline of journaling for the purpose of godliness. Whitney says, more than almost any other discipline, journaling has an appeal with nearly everyone who hears about it. Now, I'm not sure that I would completely agree with that, but he did. Said one reason is the way journaling is the way journaling bleeds biblical doctrine and daily living like the confluence of two great rivers. Said although the practice of journaling is not commanded in Scripture, it is modeled, and God does bless the activity surrounded around journaling. So if we're gonna pursue this, if we're gonna talk about journaling, what is it? That's not rhetorical. What is it?
It's a written record of something.
Okay. It's a place to record something. What is the something? Okay.
Thoughts, scripture, questions.
Okay. Okay. See, that's the key. It's a place to record the works and ways of God in our lives. Now, there are a bunch of different facets to that, and we're going to talk about some of them. But generally, that's what it is. Can include an account of daily events, a diary of personal relationships, a notebook of insights into Scripture, a list of prayer requests. It can be anything from spontaneous devotional thoughts to what he calls theological musings. And it's a way to preserve those. A journal. Yeah. I don't blog, but the ones that I have read, they tend to go off the rails sometimes. It's also a place to chart progress, and to chart progress particularly in the other spiritual disciplines. It's a way to hold oneself accountable. It's a way to measure progress or regression toward a goal. So throughout the recording in the journal and the entries is the recording of the events and reflections on your feelings and thoughts about those events. That's the cognitive part of it. That's the head part of it. It's also a place to record how you responded to those things, which is the spiritual and emotional piece. How you interpret them from your own spiritual perspectives. And then that has been said becomes the heart or the focus of journaling. As I said a minute ago, journaling is not specifically prescribed in Scripture. However, it is described. And there are lots of examples for that. Can you think of a couple of the primary ones? What's the one that immediately comes to mind?
Psalms.
Yeah, Psalms is in the for most part, Psalms is the journal of David's spiritual
journey.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for. And there's one other that comes to mind. Perhaps can you think of another? No. Okay, yeah, that is a form of journal.
Book of Acts.
Acts, that's a historical journaling. How about Lamentations? What was Lamentations?
Yeah,
Lamentations was, in its simplest form, I'm drawing a complete blank. Who wrote Lamentations?
Jeremiah.
It's his musings, if you please. It's a record of his feelings and thoughts about the fall of Jerusalem. So we've got two, three, four examples of journaling that's modeled for us in Scripture. So while it is not prescriptive, it is modeled and it is descriptive throughout Scripture. So we've kind of defined what it is. We've kind of talked about what it is. Then that raises the question, you know, why do it? What value does it have? And we've already touched on several of those. We're gonna talk about several more. Excuse me. Don't have a cough button on my mic. We're going to talk about some of those as well as some others that you may not have thought about. Whitney says, using a journal not only promotes spiritual growth, growth by means of its own values, but it's a valuable aid to many other aspects of spiritual life. It helps in self-understanding and evaluation. Now, is that important? I'm getting no response on that one.
Is
yes.
Because it gives you an idea of what you were thinking, and you can actually see how you come along on occasion.
Okay. So, an evaluative kind of procedure. Why is it important to understand yourself? Okay.
Nobody else can.
Okay.
It's a great assist for dealing with the water.
Oh, I'm not going there.
In a good way.
Okay.
Yeah. It gives you a chance to look back on the way you handled something. And you don't want to go there sometimes.
Yeah, it's sometimes painful. We are past masters at deluding ourselves. Jeremiah says, who can know the heart? It's deceitfully wicked. I believe that was Jeremiah. We'll find out in the next few weeks. It is sometimes difficult. It is sometimes painful. There, without getting too clinical here, there are two major tenets that I'll give you a should, that we should direct our lives by, other than God's principles. One is self-awareness. That's knowing as much as we can possibly know about what we feel, think, and do. The second one, and this is the tough one, is self-responsibility. is taking responsibility for everything I feel, think, and do. And I'm getting off track here, but we live in a society which very much does not promote that thought. So it journaling helps us to understand and evaluate ourselves. It's one of the ways that progress or regression can be noted. And we note that by discovering patterns. We often operate on automatic. We're automatons. We pattern things that we do, and often we do those things outside of our awareness. So one of the things that journaling does for us is that we can go back and look at our journal entries and begin to see patterns of thought, of feeling, of behavior that perhaps we did not see at the time we wrote it. When you put distance from the writing to the time you look at it again, you can look at it more objectively than you did at the time you wrote it, because you've separated from the emotional piece that went into the writing. So it helps us to increase our self-awareness. It helps us to see patterns that we may not have otherwise seen. And as we talked about a minute ago, this is no minor point. This is a major thing that we need to concentrate on. Again, quoting Whitney, he says, a more God-centered theologian never lived than John Calvin. Yet even he wrote in the first pages of his Monumental Institutes, and this is a quote from Calvin, without knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. Now think about that one a minute. Without knowledge of self, there's no knowledge of God. And he went on to say, through the knowledge of ourselves and our condition, we are aroused to seek God. So, a journal also is a means by which the Holy Spirit can show us areas of sin or weakness. As we journal things, we can sometimes begin to see an inappropriate path, if you please, that we're on. Gives us insight into our motives. And there are a lot of other things that can change, can transform a journal page into an altar, if you please, or a mechanism to seek for seeking God. Now, having said that and having concentrated on the self-awareness piece, it's not a place for what has been called navel gazing. It's not a place to become so introspective that we lose sight of the world around us and the needs in the world around us and other things that we need to do. Whitney says, used appropriately, a journal, instead of drawing us more into ourselves, can actually become a means of propelling us into action for others. The journal can be a mirror in the hands of the Holy Spirit in which He reveals His perspective on our attitudes, thoughts, words, and actions. And then he adds, since we are accountable for all of that at the judgment, to evaluate them would seem to be wise. And journaling can assist with that. Journaling also helps in meditation. We talked, several weeks ago about the discipline of meditation. And we said at that point that meditation requires concentration, as does journaling. To journal assists with that concentrating and meditating. And as we said earlier, that's not easy in the world that we live in. Um,
He says, meaningful meditation requires a concentration that is not often developed in our fast-paced, media-distracted society. Sitting with pen and paper heightens your expectations of hearing from God as you think on Him and His words, and He's related this to Bible study in the passage that you're studying. Someone said, and I don't remember who it was, but someone said that if you go to a teaching or a sermon without pen or pencil and paper in hand, you're in essence saying, I don't expect to learn anything. So that kind of plugs into the journaling as an aid to meditation. So when you record in your journal your meditations on a passage of Scripture, you can follow more closely the voice of God as He speaks through that text. There's a principle here that's also a principle of inductive study. It allows us to slow down. It allows us to think more deeply about God and therefore feel more deeply and biblically about God and about what we're reading or studying. It provides an opportunity for the unspecific kind of gray areas of our mental activity and our spiritual activity to be what he calls distilled into more specificity, into more specifics. It says then we are better able to talk with God both mentally and spiritually. Journaling helps to express thoughts and feelings to the Lord. Now, this gets a little touchy depending on whether you want somebody else to read your journal or not. It's a place where you can give expression to the outpourings, if you please, of your thinking, of your heart. We can unreservedly pour out our thinking and our feeling, and then put it in written form. Journaling helps us to remember the Lord's work. And I got kind of amused at this one. It says, many people think God has not blessed them with much until they have to move it to a new address. I was thinking y'all can appreciate that one, having just moved. But in the same way, we tend to forget just how many times God has answered specific prayers, made timely provision, done marvelous, almost miraculous things in our lives. So having a journal is a place to collect these memories and to prevent them from being forgotten. And this is one I had not thought about, that it helps to create and preserve a spiritual heritage. Have you ever read, say, a letter or something written by somebody, perhaps who's passed on, and the kind of meaning that I had? I found a bunch of letters that my dad wrote. So it not only gave me insight to who he was at that point in time, but they had, you know, huge historical value. So we can have that same sense in a spiritual sense, that as we journal our spiritual things, that preserves them for some, perhaps for some future time. He said we may never know the future spiritual impact of something that we write today. Journaling helps to clarify and articulate insights and impressions. Come on, meddle again here a minute. How much of what you do in your quiet time in the morning do you remember after supper? I would suggest? Probably not much. Because there, you know, there's 12, 15, 18, sometimes 20 hours in between. You know, life happens, stuff happens. We've got all kinds of distractions. And so we may not remember much of what happened in the morning after supper. However, if we journal that, if we put it in written form, then we have a record, and it helps us to remember the things that we meditated on in the morning. Journaling helps us to monitor and assess our goals and priorities. If we include these goals or priorities as a part of our journaling, then as we look at our progress or our regression toward those, it gives us a way to begin to evaluate that. So journaling is a good way to keep before us the things we want to do and emphasize. Some people put a list of goals and priorities in their journal and review it every day. Now, I personally think that would get a bit tedious, but some folks do that. But it is a good way to keep the priorities in view and to evaluate our progress or regression toward those. And then finally, it helps us to evaluate and to maintain our progress or regression in all of the other spiritual disciplines. It's a place where you can record your progress with all the spiritual disciplines, recording the joys and freedoms you experience through the spiritual disciplines is another way journaling helps maintain your involvement with them. Someone has said the Christian life is, by definition, a living thing. If we can think of the discipline of Bible intake as food and the discipline of prayer as breath, many have made journaling its heart. For them, it pumps life-maintaining blood into every discipline that's connected with it. So it's a way to collect thoughts. It's a way to monitor. It's a way to evaluate how we're doing with all of these other disciplines. So we've kind of explained what it is. We've kind of talked about how it's helpful. Then the rubber meets the road question is, how do you do it? What is the best way to journal? What is the prescribed way to journal? Anyway? Well, there ain't none. The first rule is you have to follow all of the rules. And the second rule is there ain't no rules. It's whatever works for you. Some folks find the most practical approach is to use a notebook. Some use spiral notebooks. Some use these pre-printed journaling. A lot of folks write their journals out by hand. They find it to be more spontaneous and I guess thought-provoking. Others... And again, I laughed at this one. Others, Whitney said, use a typewriter or a word processor. Now, I don't know anybody who still uses a typewriter. I guess some folks do. A few still use word processors. But for us, it would be what? What would we use? Our desktops, then that morphed into laptops, which morphed into tablets, which morphed into cell phones. So it's whatever electronic device you have that you're comfortable using.
One thing, you know, there are people who have asked us, asked me over the years, while we continue to maintain our sermon audio feed, you know, all of the recordings that we've done over the years, evangelizing, if you want to call it that, witnessing, both directly in the content of each recording, but then on a broader scale, what God is doing in and through those recordings.
Mm-hmm.
You hear responses, and if you listen to them, you hear responses to what the Lord is doing, how it affects decisions that are being made, and how we're doing stuff, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So it is, in essence, an electronic journal.
Yeah, it's an e-journal.
Yeah. And for those of us who record on it, it may be a record of how we're progressing or regressing in our presentations. But,
well, so. To think that a journal is going to have perfect entries in it is naive. It's
yeah. I hadn't thought about this just now, but another way to do that is with a handheld recorder. I had a commanding general when I was in service. He kept a handheld recorder with him at all times. And when he had a thought about something, he'd record it. And then somebody would transcribe it for him. So that would be another way to journal, I guess, to keep either an electronic copy or if you wanted to transcribe it, if you have time to do that.
Or you can't. I mean, I've transcribed some of that stuff correctly. There are means to do it.
Mm-hmm. However, word of warning, do not delete the important stuff. I made notes on our Israel trip on a handheld recorder. And when I got home to transfer it to my desktop, I inadvertently deleted them all. So. Okay, so going back just a minute to method, there's no right or wrong way. It's whatever works for you. He does suggest, he said, as a starting entry each day, try listing the one verse or idea from your Bible reading that impressed you the most. Meditate on that for a few minutes, then record your insights and impressions. From there, consider adding recent events in your life and your feelings and responses to them, brief prayers, joys, successes, failures, quotations, questions, etc. So while there's no specified way, that's a suggestion about kind of like about an outline. And he says, consider journaling not only for the purpose of godliness, but also as a way to raise up a monument of God's faithfulness. I heard it was a sermon many years ago about spiritual markers, and he likened it to fence posts, that you put down spiritual markers, and then you can look back. If you're going to line up a fence, how do you line up a fence? You run a string, but you put a starting point and an ending point, and you line up on that path. He said you use spiritual markers in the same way. As you put them down, you can look back and align perhaps a future decision based on that path. So that's, again, like raising up a monument to God's faithfulness. Okay, I think I'm going to stop with that. Thoughts, questions, comments, rebuttals? How about self?